Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Paul Enos, the CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association, plus on the Power Pundit panel, Pat Hickey, Liz McMenamin, and Fred Locken. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
All systems check. All right, Sam, let's go check out some D&D roof.
Hey, Ken. From up here, you can really tell the difference a quality D&D roof makes.
You're right, Sam. With our experience, knowledge, and staff, nothing compares to a D&D roof.
Hey, look down there. It's our D&D roofing crew.
I'll bank the plane so we can get a closer look. Sam! You watch your company's bottom line, and I'll cover the top of it.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done, and look to your future success. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Carson City. We're in the state capitol in the old Supreme Court, and we are delighted to be joined by Paul Enos, who is the CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association, which is where our home is when we tape the show year in and year out.
That's right, and I love it there, Sam, although it's been quiet at the office. You know, I do get to see Jim and Sean, you know, every now and then when I pop in there during the session, so...
Well, I promise you, we will be back early in June and grateful to be there. Let's talk about some of the issues that are going on at the legislature that involve trucking and transportation and infrastructure. Let's start off with the fuel tax. Looks like the rural areas are going to get a chance to raise taxes if they choose to.
Sure. So, you know, right now you have a diesel tax index, fuel tax index, that's on, you know, every source of fuel in both Clark and Washoe County. When it went to a vote of the people in 2014, 16, gosh, I don't remember anymore, the rurals all voted it down. So they came back to the legislature and said, hey, this is not an index. This is just a straight 5 cent, an excise tax. So it won't move up and down with the price. It's just a straight 5 cent tax on diesel. Our industry is very supportive of fuel taxes to pay for infrastructure. We think that is the best, most efficient method that we have. For every dollar that you collect on the fuel tax, it costs less than 3 cents. So it's extremely efficient. Part of the reason why it's efficient is because there's only 176 taxpayers in the state of Nevada who pay the fuel tax. You know, it's at the distributor level. So you tax at a very high level, not a lot of folks to audit, so it's cheap. We like it. What I really like about this bill is we negotiated with the folks at the counties, all the rural counties last year, put it in the bill last year. They didn't make it through. We're knock on wood here that it will make it through this time. We have a provision in there for truck parking. Truck parking is a huge issue for our industry. You know, when you ask folks, hey, what's one of the number one concerns for drivers? It's truck parking, even more so since we've implemented electronic logging devices. There's a truck parking study going on right now with NDOT. They've actually done a very good job of identifying places to spend that money and, you know, ways to make this work. So having a dedicated source for truck parking, Nevada would be one of the first, I think we would be the first in the country. And you know, to me, it makes a lot of sense.
Let's talk about infrastructure in general, because, you know, that was one of the big things with the Trump administration coming in. The president said he wanted to have an infrastructure bill. Where does that sit? Because the president is very close with the American Trucking Association, has been from day one.
So, you know, to me, infrastructure is one of the things that government does well. You know, there's a lot of stuff that the government doesn't do very well. But, you know, I look at military, I look at infrastructure, you know, I look at, you know, the highway system, the electrification of this country, you know, the government investment that we put in there. Those are success stories. And I think that this is a place where we do need government investment. I'm not a believer in turning everything over to Goldman Sachs or, you know, Australian banks like Macquarie and selling off their infrastructure to them. I think that is a fundamental role of government as stated in the original source document of our Constitution. So to me, having that federal investment, having government participate in infrastructure and, you know, really here in the West, we're okay. When I go back east and I see some of the roads and bridges back there, it's a little frightening. So I think we have things a lot better out here in the West. It's younger. It's a younger infrastructure system. You know, we haven't been around as long as they have. So I think that is something we should look at. I think it can be a political win. And, you know, the next question is, how do you pay for it? You know, once again, we like fuel taxes. We think a fuel tax.
Well, the federal fuel tax has been forever since that was
it's
raised.
It's been since 1991, since the federal fuel tax, or no, 93, since the fuel tax was raised on a federal level. In the state of Nevada, you know, notwithstanding the index, we haven't had any new source of fuel tax funding going to the state highway fund since 1991. So we haven't raised it since then. So I think it's time. I don't love an index. You know, to me, takes away some accountability from politicians. However, I think when you have an index, you have an index when you have politicians who aren't willing to act on it. So I've gotten to a point where I'm okay with an index. I think it, you know, makes more sense than, once again, putting a black box in everybody's car and charging for how many miles.
Right, but
travel.
I mean, you know, you look at the RTCs in both Las Vegas and in Washoe County, and you see the condition of the roads, the amount of money that's being spent on roads, even though we're paying a higher price for gasoline. So if you go between Washoe County and, say, Douglas County, you can see what that tax
there's
is.
There's definitely a difference.
But the roads, I mean,
hey, we have new capacity in both Washoe and Clark County. There's that local investment. I've participated on the Regional Transportation Research Advisory Committee, Technical Research Advisory Committee in Southern Nevada. And really, we want to make sure that the money that we have, because we know money's not unlimited, right? It's a finite source, but that when it's being spent with a purpose. You know, is this about increasing capacity? Is this about mitigating some of the environmental issues, you know, emissions? Is this about improving safety? So, you know, kind of doing these projects on a scoring system as opposed to, oh, hey, this politician needs this for this constituent because it's going to make them look good, you know, I think is a much better way to do it. And it's nice to see that we've kind of taken that tact and we are using some quantitative measures in terms of how we decide what projects we should spend money on.
All right, let's take a break. More with Paul Enos when we come back.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully's Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia. Yeah.
Because of UMC, I'm putting my free time to good use.
Because of UMC, she keeps me on my toes.
Because of UMC and this guy, I'm here.
UMC, the highest level of care in Nevada.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, Go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Paul Enos. He's the CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association. Drug tests, marijuana in particular. Seems to be kind of crazy to me that businesses might not be able to test people for marijuana.
So, you know, I don't disagree with you. Assembly Bill 132, sponsored by Dita Neal, it came out. There were some major issues with the bill. However, she did a phenomenal job of reaching out to the business community, working with us, addressing a lot of the concerns that we had. And here's the reality. We've got a continent where we have over 80 million people living in jurisdictions where recreational marijuana is legal. We do not have a good test for impairment. We have a test for usage. You know, we can tell if somebody's a user or not, but in terms of testing for impairment, that test does not exist today. And that creates a host of problems because you could be denying people employment if they're not impaired, you know, if they're a user. I mean, I think about Canada. This was really interesting. Last week I was down at the American Trucking Association's meeting in Scottsdale, Arizona. They had the CEO of Bison Transport, and I had no idea in Canada, if you are just moving intrastate within the country, you couldn't do a drug test for marijuana. Now, hey, they cross international border into our country. They have to follow U.S. DOT laws. So this is an issue that, you know, not just the trucking industry, but a bevy of other industries are going to have to come to terms with. I know some companies have even stopped testing for marijuana because they don't have the workforce. They can't find the workforce. We have that issue today in trucking. We have a lot more positive tests for marijuana that are coming forward. And right now, a driver, we need drivers that are safe. We need drivers that are responsible. And currently, the way that federal statutes are, if somebody tests for marijuana, you know, with our legal system in the state that it is very, I mean, to keep somebody on who's smoking marijuana is very, very tough. You have to meet a very high standard, send them to a DOT-certified drug rehab program. So, to me, we got to figure out that impairment standard. What does that look like? When is somebody impaired? I mean, I think about telling a truck driver today, hey, if you drink beer, you can't drive a truck anymore. Well, our driver pool would shrink up like that.
Right.
So I think we need to start looking at a solution, you know, for Canada, for those 9 states where it's legal. You know, it'd be nice to have the federal government involved with this since they do have the money, the knowledge, the wherewithal.
Well, when do you think that's coming? I mean, you know, the money is so great. You're seeing so many
conservative... I don't know, what is it? It's like SB4 or SR420 or something like that. You know, had to be cute with it, right? That would, you know, address some of these issues. But I'll tell you what we're doing as the trucking industry. Our CEO, Chris Spear, of the American Trucking Association, just appointed a working group. I'm one of the co-chairs. Along with a gentleman named Harold Summerford Jr. out of Alabama, and Patty Gillette, who's with the Safety Management Council out of the Colorado Motor Truck Association. We're putting a working group together to look and see, you know, how do these issues, control substances, how do they affect driver health? Because, you know, it definitely is an issue. You know, one of the things that we don't talk about, you know, you drink if you're under the limit, you know, if you smoke pot, you're under the limit. Well, if you use them both together, you may be impaired.
Right.
So trying to develop that, they call it a per se test, where, you know, if you're over this limit, that is going to take a lot more knowledge than I think exists in any one state today.
Well, and I think that the federal government needs to wake up and realize what's actually going on across the country, that the public, the voting public in the United States has voted to make marijuana legal, and that they need to make it legal on a federal basis, and then the universities and the medical centers can create these tests that will be beneficial because, you know, isn't that what democracy is all about?
Well, you know, it's not just democracy, but it's, you know, also about, you know, how do we ensure that we aren't using, you know, government resources in a, you know, in a frivolous way, you know, going after folks that are you know, using this substance.
I mean, well, we should have been doing the research, you know, for 40 years.
Sure, Sam, I don't disagree with you, and I think we're probably late to the party. But the fact that discussions are happening now, and, hey, one of the things, you know, I did not love this bill when it was first introduced. But I'll tell you what, I completely appreciate the conversation. You know, on that, there have been a number of other marijuana bills that have come forward. I think that's probably one of the reasons why I was appointed to this working group, because, you know, so many of these issues, and, you know, hey, it's not just the trucking industry that they impact. I mean, they impact, you know, public safety, they impact construction, right. They impact manufacturing. So, you know, there's a whole host of other industries that are impacted by this. And you're right, we're going to have to come to terms with this.
And I think law enforcement would be very grateful to have a real standard. They're trying to develop things. We've had Reno PD on the program talking about what they're doing, but there's obviously a lot more to do. Come back after session. Let's talk more about autonomous
vehicles. Come back to my office?
Can't wait. Thank you,
sir.
All right,
thanks, Sammy.
And we'll be right back.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. At Design Outdoor, we specialize in all hardscapes, pavers, and walls you'll need for everything. From wonderful small yards to full-blown outdoor living. And we only refer the best contractors to make your vision a reality. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and because I represent men in all family law matters, women often call me gender traitor, woman hater, and even disgusting. So why represent men and target myself with these offensive monikers? It's simple. Children with fathers in their lives are 6 times less likely to drop out of school, 15 times less likely to go to prison, and 5 times less likely to commit suicide. So ladies, you can hate me, but please love your children more than you hate their fathers.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from Carson City. We have a great Power Pundit panel as always. Pat Hickey is here, Executive Director of the Charter School Association of Nevada. Fred Locken is Political Science Professor at Truckee Meadows Community College. And Liz McMenamin is Vice President of Government Affairs for the Retail Association of Nevada. Start with you, Liz.
Good morning.
Which is that Connecticut has filed a lawsuit against the generic drug manufacturers, accusing them of price fixing. Your thoughts on this?
You know, my only thought on that would be, it's going to be a tough one to prove. How do you prove price fixing? Do you have
They've got texts, they've got emails, I mean.
Yeah, and you know, I guess in the corporate world, things run a little differently than they do in the everyday world. But we're going to see how this plays out. I would hate to think that the generic companies, who were the boon to the cost of medicine going forward, you know, because they were able to come together. So, you know, I guess I'm a wait and see kind of person on this one, because I'd hate to think that that part of the industry is tainted. But that's just my Pollyanna this morning on a Monday morning, thinking hopefully they can't prove that.
Okay, and Senator Cancela is going to be here on the show later this week. Your thoughts on her bills?
She's had some really interesting pieces of legislation. I've worked with her on one. She's really trying to go after the prescription benefit managers, the PBMs. And I don't necessarily think that they're the ogre that everybody thinks they are. We all have PBMs out there within our insurance industries. No matter who you are, the state uses PBMs. Unions with their medication, with their health care plans, they use PBMs. We all have been using the prescription benefit managers for many years because they help bring down the price that's already set when it starts at the manufacturer. So if we can go look at the manufacturer and how they determine we are going to pay in the United States, I mean, I think we're going to have to look at all aspects in this industry, and it starts right there where the price is set. It is set at the manufacturers.
All right, and that's one of the issues that was coming up with the generics. Pat, so let's talk about education. Teachers' raises. One of the unions in Clark County is now threatening a strike if they don't get their 3% raises. Your thoughts on this?
Well, it's for leverage at this point because they're projecting that they might, at the beginning of next school year, obviously they're hoping that there's going to be some sort of solution in terms of their budgetary needs. But the problem is that prices keep spiraling and increasing for districts. And even when you have a governor who wants to give a pay raise to teachers, they come back and say, we can't really do that because of the escalating costs. I think the bigger issue is about the new funding formula and what that's going to look like. And there are now 33 different accounts that the state derives its sources for school funding. One of the ideas of that discussion that's been going on with Jeremy Aguero and leaders, stakeholders, and legislators has been maybe to create a commission on school funding. Someone compared it to the Economic Forum, where you would forecast what are the real numbers of money that we're going to have for education spending going into a biennium.
Do you
might
think
be helpful.
Do you think a commission is going to satisfy the union members that voted in this governor? We had Ruben Murillo on the program last week talking about the second year of this 3% raise not being funded at this point. You have both major school districts in Clark and Washoe saying we don't have the money for this. And Ruben was also saying that rural schools will be hurt if the money is moved around.
I think they'll work most of that out. When the plan is finalized, I don't think it will hurt rurals necessarily. I think there'll be a fair plan. If it's a new funding formula, it's going to have to be equitable to the smaller school districts one way or another. But expectations, you're right, have been raised with the new administration and with the new majorities. And we may not be able to quite meet those expectations in the first term. Most governors are not comfortable with raising taxes in their first term, regardless of their party.
All right, but isn't this governor going to look somewhat foolish if one of his main pillars of his state of the state doesn't come through? I mean, I'd have to put this in the top three of the things that he was trying to accomplish.
Well, I guess we're going to have to see in the next few weeks if they can pull the proverbial rabbit out of the hat there.
Okay, Fred, criminal justice. This seems to have been doing quite well in the Assembly, but now bumping into problems in the Senate. The Senate Majority Leader will be on the program later on this week to talk about this as well. But this looks like some roadblocks are coming up pretty strong.
Well, Justice Hardesty's efforts were ambitious to be conservative. And under the circumstances, I'm not surprised. I think some of this may just simply not get through the session. In fact, this may stall, but with the commitment in the interim to resolve the wrinkles that they're finding. Some were feeling that there was tremendous overreach in this bill. It was a very 21st century solution to really reduce the costs of criminal justice and get people out of prisons, and therein lies the devil. I can clearly there's some pushback at this date.
Liz, and the fact that you have a defender running the Assembly Committee and a prosecutor running the Senate Committee, that creates somewhat of a conflict, does it not?
Well, you know, I really don't think so. I think they both have the best interests of the state at hand and at heart. And I think as they go forward, there'll be negotiations, more negotiations on what is going to go forward. While I believe that we need some reform with the criminal justice system, I do believe this was really far-reaching. I am all for keeping the citizens of the state of Nevada safe. And I felt like some of this was something that I, as a voter, would not be happy with, such as a criminal has their record expunged every, you're always a first offender. So I understand the need for the state to do some reform for the monies involved, and I agree with Fred. I think Justice Hardesty Steve was put forth something and was very really far-reaching in some of his hopes.
Okay, but this was based on a survey that was done, a wide-ranging investigation of our state criminal justice system could save hundreds of millions of dollars over a decade. Do you think this is there going to be something that comes out of it, or is this going to go down in flames?
Well, I like where the Assembly Chair was going with a lot of those things you hear, discussions about restorative justice and all those things. At the same time, you know, a wise guy once said, where there are no laws, there are no criminals, and, we make a lot of laws, and I don't know if we get rid of our criminals in the process of doing it.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you all very much. We'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Now you can watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. Subscribe to our channel. We'll see you on the next broadcast.